Please join me in Judges chapter 1 first today. Then we'll be getting back into Joshua chapter 17. Judges kind of gives us some flashback material at the beginning of it regarding the occupation of the tribal regions assigned by Joshua first to the Judah tribe and the Simeon tribe, which was a partner with Judah, and the Joseph tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim. These tribes kind of get first dibs, if you will. I think it's because of the fact that the Judah tribe was the official heir tribe, and Manasseh and Ephraim had special favor because they were from Jacob's favorite son, Joseph. That's my speculation. But they all seem to get the opportunity at the beginning of the seventh year to start going in and anchoring themselves in their tribal regions as described in the book of Joshua. Now, we already talked about the Judah tribe in detail and their boundaries and things. We started talking about the tribal regions of Manasseh and Ephraim, kind of got those laid out. But we didn't talk about how these tribes are also trying to get themselves anchored into these areas now. And so Judges has some of that material. And this is what it says, Judges 1:22. The house of Joseph also went up against Beth-El. Now you remember that Joshua actually defeated the king of Beth-El and executed him and apparently even burned the city down in the, I think it was the second year of the conquest, if you will. I would speculate, based on this information here, that in the intervening few years between the second year and the seventh year of Israel being in the land, some of those Bethelites, people who lived in Bethel, that had run away, have now returned and rebuilt, and they've reoccupied the site. And so when Joshua tells the house of Joseph, okay, Bethel is yours, it's part of your allotment, that they in mass, in force, go back up to deal with these Canaanites that have reoccupied their territory. And so God is with them on that. Verse 23, the house of Joseph scouted out Bethel. Now the city, the name of the city was formerly Luz. The spies saw a man coming out of the city. They said to him, please show us the way into the city. We'll deal kindly with you. And he showed them the way into the city. That's through the walls. And they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go. And then the man went into the land of the Hittites, or the land of Heth, the sons of Heth, and built a city and called its name Luz. And that is its name to this day. Now, the Hittites at this time lived way up north, up in, we'd call it Mesopotamia right now. So this guy basically rats out his fellow citizens to the Joseph army. And this is how Bethel was taken a second time, this time apparently intact, so that the Israelis can use the city as their own. But you'll notice that they're making deals, even though they had been told by God, don't make deals. And this is the beginning, kind of the start of the hinting that the Israelis are not going to do things God's way. The initial conquest went properly. Joshua led them in defeating all of these walled cities, burning a lot of them, executing those that tried to stay and fight. But now here we are a few years later. The tribes are individually are beginning to occupy their tribal region, and we see them starting to make deals. Now that is part of the next story. Before we read the Judges passage next, I want you to go to the Joshua passage. Joshua 17 and verse number 12. Now this is at the tail end of the description of the Manasseh territory. And this is what it says. Yet the people of Manasseh could not take possession of those cities. Which cities are we talking about? We're talking about the cities on the transition zone between the hills of Manasseh to the south and the flat land or the plain of Jezreel, the plain of Megiddo, the plain of Bethshan to the north. And the reason they couldn't do it is because there are chariot forces in this transition zone, especially in the flatlands of the valleys. They've already defeated the first element of those chariot forces in the time of Joshua, in the battle by the waters of Merom up in the north. But now the Canaanites have refreshed their forces. They've reestablished their highly mobile weapons platforms that we call chariots, and it's a fight now. And so the Manassite people are having an issue with that. Now, verse 13 of Joshua says this, and it's a little bit of a spoiler. It's a little bit of what's coming in the future. It says, now when the people of Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not utterly drive them out. That is specifically against the rules. They were not supposed to do it that way. Book of Judges repeats this information, Judges 1:27. Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan. Bethshan is a fortified city south of the Sea of Galilee. It's at the east end of the Jezreel Valley, down close to the Jordan. And so they couldn't take that city, or its villages, or Ta'anak and its villages. Ta'anak is part of the hill country at the extreme north of the Manasseh territory. Same thing with Dor and its villages. The inhabitants of Iblim, also same region, its villages. The inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. We know exactly where all those things are. They're on the south side of the Jezreel Valley. And so they couldn't take this transition zone or the valley of Jezreel. However, later, it says, when Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. Same thing to the south with the Ephraimites. Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, which is the transition zone from Ephraim hill country down to the Mediterranean coast. And so what happens? The Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. This is specifically a violation of God's instructions for the Israelites. They were supposed to not allow the Canaanites to remain. They were to drive them out. Back over to Joshua 17. Okay, so when in, I think we're talking about the beginning of the seventh year that Israel was in the land, so 1410 BC by my estimation, when the people of Manasseh, in association with the people of Ephraim, these are the tribes of Joseph, when they have their territory described to them by Joshua, and then they go and start occupying it, making it their own, they run into a problem with these Canaanites in the transition zones. And so they go back and they gripe to Joshua about it. Verse 14, then the people of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, why have you given me but one lot and one portion as an inheritance when I'm a numerous people, since all along he who is has blessed me? And Joshua said to them, if you are a numerous people, then go up by yourselves to the forest and clear ground for yourselves in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you. So he basically is saying back to them, look, if you don't feel you have enough territory down by Shechem, for example, which was clearly in control of the Ephraimites, if you don't feel like you've got enough territory there to grow your crops and live in the cities, then just go north and clear out those Canaanites that are in the transition hill country heading off to the Jezreel Valley. That's your territory already. Clear it. So Joshua said, if you're a numerous people, go up by yourselves to the forest, clear ground for yourselves in the land of the Perizzites, the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you. The people of Joseph said, the hill country is not enough for us. Yet all the Canaanites who dwell in the plain, now the plain he has in mind is the Jezreel Valley that stretches from that little bump on the coast of Israel all the way eastward to the Jordan River down by Bethshan. It's a big, long area. Lots and lots of grain fields. They said, the Canaanites who dwell in the plain, so in the Jezreel, and also along the Mediterranean coast, south of Mount Carmel, that's the bump that goes out into the Med at that point. So those two plains, the Canaanites who dwell in the plain have chariots of iron, both those in Bethshan and its villages and those in the valley of Jezreel. And so Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, you're a numerous people. You have great power. You shall have or not have one allotment only, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it is forest, you shall clear it and possess it to its farthest borders. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, although they have chariots of iron and though they are strong. Now, I believe we should take that as Joshua basically telling them, look, you have more than enough. Sure, you've got the allotment you're currently in right now with Shechem kind of at the core of it, but you've got all of that area in the transition zone to the north and then down into the Jezreel Valley, down to the Mediterranean coast. Just go take it. God is going to go ahead of you. Trust him. That's effectively what Joseph is trying to tell these people. Now, the problem is, as we already read in the book of Judges, and also saw it a little bit in here in the book of Joshua, is that these guys are not willing to fully trust God, which is a shock to me, because these guys were involved in the first several years of the blitzkrieg of Joshua leadership that took on all of these Canaanite city-states and just clean the floor with them in year 1, 2, and 3, and then also 4, 5, and 6, I think, even though that's not as clear. That's already been cleared out. Yes, some of the Canaanites have come back in, but if they just trust God, they can have all this that's inside their boundaries. All right, so that takes care of the Judah, along with the Simeon tribe, Manasseh, and Ephraim. We also have Gad and Reuben on the east side of the Jordan. They've already been taken care of, and the other half of the Manasseh tribe. That still leaves quite a few tribes, 7 specifically, that need to get their allotment. But they have to wait until the official handing out of the allotments at a national assembly. And this is what we read about that. It starts in Joshua chapter number 18. Then the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh. Now we know where Shiloh is. And by the way, Shiloh means peace. And it becomes the first centralized worship site for the tabernacle in the Promised Land. The tabernacle seems to have started out down at Gilgal at the beachhead crossing for the first few years during the years of conquest. And the ark, at least, was taken up to Shechem for some sort of religious ceremony, the blessing and cursing ceremony, in the fall, I think, of the first year. But now that they have begun the true occupation of their tribal regions in the land, they adopt a centralized location for worship, and that is Shiloh. So we read here that they set up the tent of meeting there. The land lay subdued before them. That means that the Joshua campaign has been very successful. Let's talk about that. He has knocked out all of the major city-states from way down south in the Negev, all the way north into at least part of what we call the Beka Valley today, that's west of Mount Hermon. He's knocked everything out to the Jordan Valley on the east, and all the way down to the coastline of the Mediterranean on the west, with the exception of the coast that's part of Sidon and Tyre, and the coast that's part of the land of the Philistines. And then they've also got all of the land east of the Jordan, that's the Golan and Gilead, and down by the plains of Moab, and the northern half of the east side of the Dead Sea. So that's a really big area that they've knocked out all of the city-states from. But they've also secured a core area that they're starting to actually occupy. And that's all the hill country around Hebron, and a little bit over to the west from there, and then all the way east to the shores of the Dead Sea, and then all along the hill country past Jebus, or Jerusalem, although Jebus is not under their control, up past Ai and Bethel, up to Shechem, and a little bit north from there, They go all the way to the Jordan Valley on the east side, and then beyond that, the whole eastern side of the Jordan Valley plus the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And then they've got the Gibeonite valley to the west, all the way down to the coastline. That's totally under their control. So they have got a really secure heartland to their promised land occupation going. And I believe it's the seventh month of the seventh year that they were in the land. Whenever they meet at Shiloh as their new worship site. Now, verse 2. There remained among the people of Israel seven tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, "How long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which he who is the God of your fathers has given you?" So there's a little bit of a chiding that's going on here. Why are you dragging your feet? Joshua had already dealt with the Judah tribe, the Simeon tribe, the Manasseh and Ephraim tribes, and helped them take their occupation of the core of their territory. And he's like, why are the rest of you dragging your feet not getting this done? So verse number 4. Provide 3 men from each tribe. So we're talking about 7 tribes, so that's 21 men. I'll send them out that they may set out and go up and down the land. They shall write a description of it with a view to their inheritances, and then they shall come to me. They shall divide it into 7 portions. Judah shall continue in his territory in the south. The house of Joseph shall continue in their territory on the north. By the way, there is an alley of unclaimed land between the tribe of Judah on the south and the tribe of Ephraim to the north of there. That little corridor of land stretching from Jericho and the Jordan all the way over to the Mediterranean coast is going to be divvied up between 2 tribes, and we'll see that mentioned here. But he says, Judah's going to continue where they're at. Joseph's going to continue where they're at. Verse 6, you shall describe the land in 7 divisions. Bring the description here to me. I'll cast lots for you here before he who is your God. Now, I actually think that Joshua is saying, I will work with the high priest Eleazar, with the Urim and the Thummim, and we will let God tell you which of the remaining 7 bits of promised land go to which tribes. Verse 7, the Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of he who is their heritage. So they do not get a Levitical tribal region. Instead, they're going to be scattered into cities in all the tribal regions. Gad and Reuben, half the tribe of Manasseh, have received their inheritance among the Jordan eastward, which Moses, the servant of he who is, gave them. So the men arose, they went. Effectively, they're going to go north of the Jezreel Valley, and they're going to look through what we call the Galilee today and up into the area of the Sidonians and up into the valley of Baca. So they're going to go and check it all out. Joshua charged those who went to write the description of the land, saying, go up and down the land, write a description, return to me. I'll cast lots for you here before he who is at Shiloh. So the men went, they passed up and down the land, wrote in a book a description of it by towns in 7 divisions. That's actually what comes up in the next section of the book of Joshua. And they came up to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before he who is. And there Joshua apportioned the land to the people of Israel, to each his portion. And so I really do believe this next part happens in the seventh month, which is the month of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's after the harvest has come in, which a lot of these tribes have already been working the land since they moved in at the beginning of the first year of occupation. And so it's a great, it's also the beginning of their seventh year rest, the very first sabbatical year in the Promised Land. So it's a big, big time, important event. Now the first lot is cast for Benjamin. The lot of the tribe of the people of Benjamin, according to its clans, came up, and the territory allotted to them fell between the people of Judah and the people of Joseph. So they get roughly half of that corridor that's between Judah on the south and Ephraim on the north. You can go through and read the description yourself, but they basically get the half that's on the east end of the corridor. They get Jericho. They get what will eventually be Jerusalem. They get Bethel and Ai. And they get the edge of the Wadi system that goes down to the Mediterranean by Kiriath Yearim, although the city Kiriath Yearim belongs to Judah. And so that becomes the Benjamite territory just to the north of Judah, and Jerusalem is actually part of it. All of that is described here at the beginning of chapter number 18. And then the last part of chapter 18 is a list of the cities in that region. And since we have run out of time, we're going to mark our place at chapter 19 and get back into the Word the next time we have a chance.